Support for best practices of top practices with Stephen J. Anderson comes from Total Patient Service. Reach the highest levels of dental case acceptance, productivity, and profit with Total Patient Service. Whether you attend any of the highly impactful TOPS continuing education courses or enroll in their customized Total Practice Support Program, your practice will stay plugged in and turned onto the ideas, techniques, and systems that will help you continually implement what works to keep your practice working for you, your patients, and your team. Right now, listeners can download Total Patient Service's ebook titled The Science of Setting and Achieving Goals for free. Visit their website at www.totalpatientservice.com to download your free copy today. That's www.totalpatientservice.com. Welcome to Best Practices of Top Practices with Stephen J. Anderson. If you believe that your team is your most powerful case acceptance tool, that if they are good enough to hire, they are good enough to train, and that you must be as good on the inside as you appear to be on the outside, then we have designed the techniques and systems for team case acceptance that will take your team practice performance to the top. Here's your host, Steve Anderson.
Welcome to the Best Practices of Top Practices. This is Steve Anderson, and today we're going to have a discussion about something that you have heard a lot about, which is goal setting. And for everything that has been written and spoken about it, I'm going to prove something today that I hope will get your attention. One of the things that I've said over the years is that knowing is not doing. Doing is doing. Brilliant quote, don't you think? And so I want to walk through an exercise with you to kick off today that we do in our seminars and presentations, speeches all over the country. Done this for years, and it includes four questions. Now, when I'm in front of an audience, the way we do this is I ask everyone to stand up. Now, if you're driving, I don't recommend that, but you're welcome to stand up if you're in front of your computer or listening in some other way. If you're in a place where you can stand up, go for it. And here's the instructions, is I'm going to ask four questions, all of which can be answered with a yes or a no. You're gonna answer to yourself based on what you're doing. And if you have to answer no to any one of these questions, you can just quietly sit down. So four questions, yes or no. If you have to answer no, quietly sit down. All right, so question number one is, do you have goals? Do you have goals? Question number two, are your goals written down? So are your goals written down? Question number three, do you review your goals every day? Do you review them every day in some way, shape, or form? And number four, do you have your goals written with you or someplace where you physically see them every day? So on your person in some way, shape, or form, or someplace where you physically connect with them every day. So do you have goals? Are they written down? Do you review them every day? And then do you physically connect with them in some way, shape, or form? Do you see them every day? Now, here's what we find. I don't know how you turned out on your little self-exam there, but typically when we do this with all kinds of business groups and students that we work with, the typical result is we'll get maybe 3 to 6%, 10% at the outside that will be able to answer all those questions with a yes. Now, I don't think there's a shortage of anybody that is talking about goals. I think we all know it. Yet, being able to answer all four of those questions clearly shows us that the doing is a lot different than the knowing. So let's take a look at a couple of those questions for starters today. And I'm going to challenge you to do some things a little bit different. So let's take a look at question number one. It really turns out to be sort of a practice question. It's a gimme. I don't think I've ever found anyone that sat down on that first question, do you have goals? Everybody wants to believe that they do, and even if they don't, they aren't going to admit that they don't. So rarely, if ever, do I ever lose anybody on the first question. So by the time we get, as I said, to number four, there's a lot fewer people standing. So if you had to stand down, or excuse me, sit down early, that's okay. Let's talk about the realities of all of this. So there is one of the most often cited studies on goal setting, and has been repeated and quoted for decades, is one that was reportedly done in the 50s, the 1950s, at Yale University. Now, you may be familiar with this, and basically the study, or the report of this study, is that they asked graduating seniors from Yale University those four questions or similar to those, and they found that only about 3% can answer those questions with a yes. And then they followed them. They tracked their activity and their accomplishment over several decades. And what they found is that after 3 decades, there was only the 3% had outperformed the other 97% combined. Now, that's enough to get your attention. Now, interestingly enough, as I mentioned, as I asked those questions, it's about what I see is 3 to 6% remain standing. Now, that is the most often quoted study on goal setting that has gone viral over the years, and it is 100% bogus. So the study never happened. There is no record of it. There is no written record of it anywhere that anyone has been able to find. Now, I suspect what happened there is that someone somewhere was giving a presentation or a speech and was commenting on the achievements of those who went through business school in the 1950s. Post-World War II, businesses were growing like crazy. There was a vacuum of leadership. And so one of the facts is that the 1956 class of Harvard Business School placed more, eventually had more Fortune 500 CEOs than any other class at Harvard before or since. And so I'm sure that somebody somewhere made some kind of a comment where they said, you know, I'll bet if we did a study and asked those four questions, we would find, and then somebody heard that as there was a study, and then hypothesis turned into fact, and the fact never really happened. So the myth still persists, that being what it is. And I find it interesting that the statistics are pretty consistent. So when that fact was discovered, there was a professor at Dominican University in California, Dr. Gail Matthews, who decided to do a study of her own. One scientifically designed, peer-reviewed, followed all the rules that you're supposed to do a real scientific study on the topic of goal setting. She wanted to know if there was really anything to this that could be quantified. So her results are fascinating. Just her results in and of themselves could be the topic of several different podcasts. But let's take a look at a couple of things that were found in that study that bear mentioning that really should get your attention. So one of the things that she found is that you have a 50% greater chance of achieving a goal if it's written down. So 50% greater chance, your odds go up by 50% just by writing it down. We'll talk about the power of that in just a minute. And then the second is of many things that she found is that you have a 100% better chance of achieving a goal if it is written down and you have regular accountability to someone outside yourself. So somebody beyond yourself that you have to report to on a regular basis for your activity, what you're doing to move toward that goal. So there's some power here. Let's start then with that number one question, which is, do you have goals? Rarely is there somebody who says they don't. Everybody has aspirations. Everybody wants to say that they do. And where the real point of differentiation comes is in question number two, which is when you write them down. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's where commitment really starts to take place. Now, let me talk about this piece, because I've talked about the importance of writing things down, especially your goals, for years. And I will confess that I never truly understood why it was so important, what the power of it is. So let's go back. If you spent any time with me at all in the past, you know that I talk a lot about what I call natural laws. Now, natural laws differ from rules. Rules are made by people to keep us all in alignment and marching in the same direction so that we can all coexist together. A natural law is different in that it is a hard, fast law of the universe, if you will, that governs human behavior. Or anything else. So in physics, there's a lot of laws like gravity, and you can do what you want. You can always make a choice. If you break the law of gravity, it doesn't break. It breaks you, right? And so that's the power of a natural law, is if you understand them and you go with the law, you abide by it, then you have a much better chance of getting a desirable end result. Right, if you go with the law. So one of my favorite natural laws is called the law of integrity. And the law of integrity says that we want to be consistent with who we say we are. We want to be consistent with who we say we are. In other words, if I say I am one way verbally, for starters, then psychologically I have a tendency to want to be consistent with that, because if I'm not, then I'm crazy, right? So verbally makes sense. Then if I put it in writing, it's even more powerful, because I've codified it. I put it in a place where it will endure and I can't take it back. There's proof of it. It's in writing. It's right there and it's in front of me. I don't think it's any wonder why, for example, as a case study, the Ten Commandments were written in stone. They weren't just spoken to leave it open to human interpretation and passing it down by word of mouth. They were written. They weren't written on paper. They were written in stone as a reminder, and established the ideal for everyone to say, okay, this is the way we are supposed to be. This is a commitment we've made, and we want to be congruent with that. So the law of integrity plays a huge role in this whole idea of setting and achieving a goal. As was found in the study, you have a 50% greater chance of getting the result that you want if you simply write it down. So that, I hope, will convince you enough, even if you're not totally sold on the goal, just get it down in writing as a starting point, because that you're 50% ahead when you just write it down. Now, here's the second piece to writing it down. It's not only writing it down, but how you write it down. And there's some rules here that I would recommend when you write it down. In other words, the first rule is that you can increase the results of a positive outcome if you write your goal down in terms of the outcome that you want, instead of the outcome you don't want. Now, that might seem counterintuitive. Why would you write something down in terms of what you don't want, right? Or why would you write something down what you don't want? Here's the trap that we get caught in. Let me give you a quick example of this. We had a college student that came to me, was a little bit in distress, and was getting close to graduation time, and he was afraid that he wasn't going to graduate. He had a kind of a long ongoing history of no follow through, and he'd start things and then he wouldn't finish. And he was now concerned that this same thing was going to happen academically. And so he had written down a goal. I asked him, I said, let's see your goals, because I had known him and I knew he wrote down his goals. And so one of his goals was, I'm not going to quit. Okay, now I want you to think about that. What resonates when I say that I'm not going to quit? What's the word that just keeps ringing in your ears? Well, it's the word quit. So by virtue of saying that he wasn't going to, the thing that really sticks in your mind is the exact opposite of what he wanted. And so every time he read that goal, the thing that remained in his mind was quitting, the exact opposite of what he wanted. So there's another natural law that plays into this, along with the law of integrity. We want to be consistent with who we say we are. Combine that with what I call the law of focus. And the law of focus says that you can't focus on the opposite of an idea. For example, if I say to you, don't think of the Statue of Liberty, well, what's the image that pops into your mind? You see the crown, the long dress, the lantern, the tablet. You see the image of the exact thing that I told you not to think of. You can't do it. In other words, you cannot focus on the opposite of an idea. So when you think about the most often set goal in America, what is it? Of course, it's losing weight. Well, what is that? Lose something, which is negative. Nobody wants to lose anything, right? And the weight, you're totally focused on the opposite of what you want. You're focused on the thing that you don't want. So here's the guidelines, and I'll just submit this to you that of all of the things, it is amazing to me how often we violate that rule, the law of focus. In other words, we tend to talk about what we don't want instead of what we do want, and it has the opposite effect of really helping us get what we want. So the goal here, the rule is to express it in terms of what we want, the positive, what is the desired outcome, not what you don't want, but what you do want. So positive, and if I could suggest first person, I, and present tense. Okay, so this is the I am concept. So, for example, if I were going to go back to our college student example, then we would rewrite his goal to say, on June 17th, whatever the end date is, I receive my diploma with my classmates with a 3.5 grade point average or whatever it is. In other words, specific date and specific positive outcome. So science has proven the brain responds to images. Image, whatever the image is, it tends to leave that imprint, and then we start gravitating towards that, right? So one point of interest here, he wouldn't say, I am going to get a diploma, because the future tense, I can kick that can down the road for as long as I can. So future tense, it needs to be present tense. I am, on this date, I am. Which sounds a little odd, but there's just the way it works. So I am by this date, right? So for example, on the weight goal, just as a simple illustration, that goal would be written on June 1st, I am a healthy, physically fit, 150 pounds, that's a lot better than setting a goal about what I don't want, what I'm trying to lose, what I'm trying to get rid of, right? So first person, present tense, positive is the key, and written down. So that is the first piece of just writing it down. Powerful to write it down and powerful to do it in the right way. First person, present tense, positive, so that you get the image of what it is that you want the end result to be. So my challenge to you today is to make a commitment to write it down. And if you have written it down, go back and relook at it and see how you have written down your goal. Is it in first person, present tense, positive? And is it stated in terms of the end outcome that you want so that you harness the power of the law of integrity and the law of focus? We want to be consistent with who we say we are, and your mind cannot focus on the opposite of an idea. Phrase it in terms of what you want instead of what you don't want. So that's your challenge for this podcast. When we meet again on our next podcast, we'll add some more fuel to the goal setting fire here that will, based on research and what we know today, will add even more energy and a greater chance of accomplishing your goals. Thanks for joining us today on our podcast. I look forward to being with you again soon in our next episode of The Best Practices of the Top Practices.
You've been listening to Best Practices of Top Practices. You can follow Steve on Facebook at Stephen J. Anderson and Instagram at TheStephenJAnderson. If you haven't yet, go to Apple Podcasts and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. Join us next time for more Best Practices of Top Practices. Thanks for being with us.